Texas Rangers started spring training camp in Surprise, Arizona. Did you know that? That's where their spring training camp is, right outside there. And we might have to go in there and check them out one day when they come up that way. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? But anyway, it's good to have them today. I miss seeing them all the time. I wish I could have them here all the time with me. They're so talented. But it's good to have our little grandbaby back here too, Mr. Judah. And you notice he had his earphones on a while ago. He's at their church, the music gets pretty loud too, and so they do that to protect his ears. And we've enjoyed having him around. Poppy and Lola, we're just head over heels. And we can't wait for Stetson to get here. So Matt and Nubby had to leave. Well, they have some maternity pictures. They're having them here this morning, and so they'll be back hopefully before service is over. But if not, that's because they got tied up in the pictures today. So anyway, hey, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to share with you a little bit out of Exodus chapter 16 and a little bit out of Matthew 7 as well. So I want to title my message. I have a PowerPoint for that too. It's a separate PowerPoint. Live like it matters. You see that, baby? Live like it matters. I'm going to give her a chance to pull up. I'm going to give you a quote or a few little quotes here I'm going to share with you. You guys haven't joined us on Wednesdays, you are too. We've been in a series titled Conversations with Jesus, and we've just been talking about different conversations that Jesus had with people when he walked on earth. It's been really, really insightful, and I really enjoyed doing that, and I hope that you've enjoyed it as well. We have been putting our online services from the church on the big screen because it's just a whole lot better quality. Pastor Austin and I really enjoy that, and Chris Arce comes up and works for one of the TV news stations, and he helps us put together all of that for the church. So hopefully you've been watching us on Wednesday nights at 6:30. If you haven't, you need to join in. Tell somebody else. Live like it matters. Let me give you, there's about three little quotes there, maybe I want to give you. Maybe you've heard this. It is what it is. Anybody heard this quote? It is what it is. maybe you've said that before. You know, somebody asked you a question. Well, it is what it is. It can't help it. I can't change it. You know, I am what I am. But it is what it is. And here's another quote I want to give you. Pat Summitt said this. It is what it is, but it will be what you make it. You ever thought about that? You know, could it be that you can change things? Could it be that you can have a profound impact on the things and the surroundings in your neighborhood, in your area, in your life, in your church, if you want to? And, yeah, we could go on and have church and say, you know what, it is what it is that we're here. But we could say, you know what, we can make it be what God wants it to be here. Amen. We can do our part. Let me give you one more quote today by Ryan Blair. He said, if it is important to you, you will find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse. Mm. Amen? I've said this many times to people through the years, or maybe just even to myself, but you will find the time to do what's most important to you to do. If you want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go fishing, right? Or play golf. Amen? If you want to get up and go have breakfast at IHOP or down at the Cracker Barrel at 6:30 in the morning, you'll do what you want to do because that's who you are and that's what means most important to you. Can I tell you, friends, that the church will do what we want to do if it's important to us. We'll be in the house of the Lord. We'll worship God. We'll read and study our Bibles. We'll have a relationship with God. And we'll tell other people about Jesus if that's what means something to us. Amen. Church is just more than a place to gather. It's a place where we come and worship the Lord. The Assemblies of God has been my bread and butter for years. I mean, I was raised and born and raised in an Assemblies of God church. My brother and I mean, as soon as we got home from the hospital, I think my mom had us in the altars and had us praying through. And, you know, it is what it is, yeah. But it is what we want it to be as well. And I've always been so thankful for this organization that we call this Assemblies of God. I'm not saying that Assemblies of God is the only denomination. I'll never say that. Because I believe there are so many denominations that God's using. But I just know that the church, the fellowship that we are a part of, has always been known for what? It's passion. It's compassion. Yeah, we've been known for a lot of other things like holy rollers and chandelier swingers or pew jumpers or altar runners or whatever you want to call it or Jericho marchers. But, you know, that's not what should define us. What should define us is our relationship with the Lord, right? Our passion, our compassion, our enthusiasm for who God is and what God does. Can I just encourage you today? Live like it matters. Can I tell you we only have one life to live? This is the only life I get to live. I don't get to come back. I don't believe in reincarnation. I believe that once we leave this earth, we go spend eternity in our eternal destination. And that's going to be a wonderful day. But I want to live a long life. And I want to live my life like it matters to me and it matters to God. I want to take you to Exodus chapter 16 for a few minutes this morning. And if you're watching us online today,
you know, we haven't been online ever yet.
Okay, cool. Amen. I just want to welcome you. I got kind of ahead of myself a little bit like I usually do, but thank you for joining us today. And we're just sharing today a little bit about living like it matters and just trusting the Lord to reveal some things to you. Matter of fact, I need to get this book right here because there's something I wanted to share with you real quick. There's a pastor, a teacher, he does so many wonderful things, but his name is Craig Groeschel. He wrote a book called Lead Like It Matters. And I was just interested in some things that he had to say at the very beginning in his introduction. And I just want to share a little bit of that with you. Let me do that before I get into the text this morning. But he said this. He says, some ministers have it. Some don't. Most churches want it. Few have it. The good news is that when a church has it, everyone knows it. But when one doesn't, well, everyone knows that too. The same is true with pastors and leaders. Some have it. Some don't. It's obvious when someone has it and when someone doesn't. It is always unique. It is always powerful, and it is always life-changing. That's its upside. But it has another side, too. It attracts critics. It is controversial. Many people misunderstand it, and it's hard to find, but it is impossible to miss. By now, you're probably asking, what is it? He said, my answer is, I really don't know. Think about that. He said, but here's what I do know. If you've ever been involved in a ministry that had it, you had this sense you were part of something special. Though you probably couldn't describe it, you still knew it when you saw it. It was this indescribable work of God that could not be explained or contained. You ever been a part of something that God just did that you couldn't explain it? You couldn't contain it? I mean, you just were so overwhelmed by it. I believe that's what church ought to do for us. Church, we are the church, but I believe that's what should happen when we come together as the body of leaders. We are just experiencing something that we can't even describe. Can I tell you that when the Holy Spirit comes down, when the Word of God goes forth, and when the people of God worship God, something happens in that group of gathering of people that just sometimes you can't even explain it. You ever been in a situation where you just got so enthralled in worship or in prayer that the next thing you know, so much time has gone by, but you were just in the presence of the Lord, and you were just overwhelmed by what God was doing, and you know, miracles were happening, signs and wonders were happening, but you can't explain it, friends. I long for those days in church, don't you? I long for those days where we're just so overcome by what God is doing that we'll leave this place and say, you know what, I don't know what happened. I just know that we were in the presence of the Lord. Let me take you a minute for just a few minutes today to Exodus chapter 16. Just bear with me today for a few minutes. I shouldn't be too long today. But you all know the story of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Hadn't been there very long, and already they were complaining and griping about what to eat and had it better back in Egypt. Read with me today, the New Living Translation in chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. It says, then the whole community of Israel set out for Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sinai, between Elim and Mount Sinai. It said they arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses. And Aaron, really, their complaints weren't about Moses and Aaron. It was really about God. They were complaining to God about, why are we here? If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat, made all the bread we wanted, but now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. But did they forget about all the hardships they were going through as well? All the heavy labor and intensity that was taking place and the suffering? But look what the Lord said to Moses. Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaints which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord and not against us. Read just a little bit more. Then Moses said to Aaron, so announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourself before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am your Lord, your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp, and the next morning the area around the camp was wet with dew. And when the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. And the Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is this? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. So what did God do? You know, God could have gotten mad right here and said, you know what? Well, I'll just show them. I'll just let them go a little bit hungrier, a little bit thirstier, and I won't give them anything to eat or anything to drink. But aren't you glad God's a merciful God? He's a compassionate God, slow to anger, right? Full of compassion and grace. And he said, you know what? I'm going to bless them because I know they're struggling. This has only been the second month now that they have come out of the land of Egypt. I know that this is a whole new world for them. I know they're on a journey that they have never been on before. And they're going to see things and experience things. And they're going to walk through human natural things that they don't even know how to explain. So I'm going to give them quail in the evening. So much quail. Amen. They're going to eat so much quail, it's going to make them grow up. They're going to have so much bread in the morning. It's going to be enough for everyone. And you have to imagine, there was probably, maybe 2 million people at least that had come out of Egypt. And he was going to have enough bread or enough, they didn't even call it bread. They called it manna. And manna means what? What is it? They said, what is this stuff? And Moses will later give them a little explanation about it. But when they saw it, God was showing them that he was taking care of them. My first question to you today is, if we're going to live like it matters, then first of all, we got to understand, what is it? What is it? Now, that's an interesting little two-letter word, isn't it? It could be a noun. I guess it could fall in as a verb. But what is it? What is it that God wants to do for you? What is it that God is doing for his church? And I'm not talking about all the complaining. I'm so glad I got a church that doesn't complain about their pastor. I'm glad I got a church that loves me and cares for me. And I'm going to tell you what, you had a lot to complain about what we've been through this last year if you don't want it to. But I've been so thankful that you have stood by my side and you have prayed for me and lifted my family and lifted up your church. Let me be honest, that means a lot to me, friends. It really does. I feel your strength. I feel your prayers. But when we talk about what is it, you know, Craig Groeschel said, well, we won't know it. We'll see it, but we don't know how to explain it. I don't even know really what it is. Well, I believe it could be a lot of things. I believe it could be the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to call the Holy Spirit an it because he's a person. Amen. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's God, the Holy Spirit, and he is so powerful. But I want to give you three things that I believe what it is. And here's the first thing it is. I believe that what is it is God's provision. Did you know that God will provide for you? God will supply your every need. The Bible says, I'll supply your every need according to your riches and glory, which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. What it was is, it was God's provision. What was manna? It was God's provision for the children of Israel. He said, behold, I will rain down from heaven for you. This was a promise from God. Can I tell you, bread doesn't normally rain down from heaven? Have anybody seen it come down from heaven? Oh, I tell you what, the other day we broke out the bread machine and used it in a number of years, and Lori had ordered us some bread from online, some sourdough bread. Man, we put that bread in that bread machine, and all of a sudden the aroma started filling the house. Oh, I put a text on Facebook that says, it's hard to sleep, you know, when you smell bread. I mean, like the fresh smell of bread. I love it. Oh, and she went to sleep, and I went ahead and got me a slice of warm bread with some butter on it. Oh, I'll tell you what, it was so good. But you know, bread doesn't normally rain down from heaven. But God has promised that he would supply and provide for Israel in an unexpected way. Can we say that God has been supplying our needs in an unexpected way? Amen. When we look back at everything that we've been walking through, you know, it's hard to explain what God has been doing for us. But God has been supplying our needs. And can I tell you, I believe He will keep supplying our needs in unexpected ways. This reminds us that God may provide from resources that we knew never existed. You know, manna was never before known to man. They had never seen manna. They had never seen it like this. They'd never seen this come from heaven before. They'd never seen the ground covered with white stuff that they could eat. Maybe they had seen the dew, but they'd never seen this resource that God has. Friends, can I tell you that God has resources we don't know about? God has resources for our church that we don't know about.
Amen.
Not only while we're here, but I believe when we get back in our building, God's going to give us resources and supply our needs with things that we didn't even know about in ways that we can never comprehend or even come up with our own imagination. You know, sometimes God provides the familiar resources, but sometimes God provides in unexpected ways. Quail was a natural resource. They maybe never ever seen quail that vast before, but quail was something they knew about. But manna was something totally new. God can provide. Maybe God was saying, I can provide in the natural, and I can provide in the supernatural, friends. Amen. I can provide in ways you don't know about, and I can provide in ways you do about. Paul said, sometimes I pray in the spirit, sometimes I pray in my understanding, sometimes I pray in ways I don't understand. Friends, can I tell you that God works in so many different, unique ways? We just got to give God an opportunity to work. Amen. God provides us. We just need to live life like it matters. We just need to worship God like it matters. Amen. We just need to live for God like it matters.
Amen.
The Bible said that people would go out and they would gather a certain quota every day because God told them to gather 2 quarts of bread for each person. God promised to send the bread, but He didn't promise to drop it in their mouths. Sometimes we believe God for supernatural things, but we expect God to do all the work. Sometimes we've got to get out and do it ourselves, don't we?
Amen.
Sometimes we've got to knock the door. Sometimes we've got to pave the ground. You know, we've asked you to take these little maps over here and begin to pray over certain areas. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have been praying over our community here this past week? You know, pretty much every day except for Monday that I was at work this week, I drove that I drove past our church, went back down the feeder road, all the way down to, Motley there, cut across Motley, all the way back down to the feeder road on the interstate, on Highway 8, and then back down to East Meadows Boulevard, and then I made that little trek right behind our church on Ashton Drive, because I didn't want our church to be left out of that drive. And I just began praying over every home, over every apartment, over every business. And I just said, God, you know what these people need. And you know what you're going to do. And I just pray you begin to break off strongholds and begin to open eyes and open hearts. Come on, friends. God will do what He knows He can do. And God can do anything. But, friends, God expects us to participate in what He is doing. If you didn't get one of those maps, I'd encourage you to take one. If you can't get out and drive around and walk the streets, just pray over that area. Ask God to cover that area and begin to open the hearts of people so that they'll be receptive to what God wants to say to them. You know, I say, Lord, just bring them to the house of the Lord. If it's our house or some other house, it's okay. Just bring them into the kingdom of God. May they know you, friends. Amen. May they know the Lord and know the one that has called them. We still have to go out and gather. The children of Israel, they were. You know, if they didn't go out and gather the manna every morning, guess what happened? It evaporated. It evaporated as the sun came out. And if they gathered too much, guess what happened? It turned to maggots and it stopped. You see, there's requirements and responsibilities that God has given us. And we need to take those things seriously. Let's do our part. Let's gather God's provision. And let's watch God multiply that. Friends, can I tell you what? It never ran out. God multiplied the provision. And you know what He did on the eve of Sabbath? He doubled it. Or He doubled it the Friday before, because their Sabbath was on Saturday. But He doubled it on Friday morning. So when they went out Friday morning to gather their manna, guess what they had? They had enough for twice as much that would last if they would just be obedient to the Lord. You said God might have been testing them. He could have been. I believe He was. You see, the blessing of bread from heaven, as one writer said, came with the responsibility of obedience. This responsibility would test Israel, measure their obedience, and that they would come on the sixth day as they would faithfully gather 5 days, and on the sixth day as they would trust God to gather twice as much, so that on the seventh day they could rest and worship the Lord on their Sabbath. You see, friends, God has provision for us. Amen. I've been praying for that. I've been praying, Lord, you've got resources we don't know about. And I just believe that you're going to bring resources in. Maybe we're going to have to do some things. Maybe we're going to have to, you know, I believe if we reach souls, God has the resources in the pockets of souls. If we'll just reach their hearts for the kingdom. Here's the second thing I believe it is. Not only is it provision, but it's also God's plan. You see, the bread from heaven came with the dew each morning as some kind of residue from the dew. It was small, round, fine as frost on the ground. It was not easy to gather. It had to be swept up from the ground. As a kid, it didn't really matter. You know, man, we'd pick up pears off the ground. Man, we'd pick up vegetables out of the garden, the dad was gardening, and we'd just eat them right then. We didn't care. Come on, anybody ever do that? We drink out of the water hose. Anybody drink out of the water hose? Come on. You know, nowadays, you know, that's not sanitary, right? And, you know, maybe there's good reasons for all of that. But can you imagine, every morning they went up and had to gather the frost or the manna off of the ground. Think about that. Did you know that Jewish legend supposedly tells us how they swept it up off the desert floor so it wouldn't have any dirt in it? These legends say that when God sent manna, he first sent a north wind to sweep the floor of the desert. And then he would send a rain to wash it clean, so that when the manna descended from heaven, it descended on clean ground. That's the Jewish legend of that. Blew the dirt with the wind and washed it with the rain. And then he sent the manna on top of the ground. I don't believe it got down in the dirt. I believe it kind of just hovered right there at the top of the ground, and they were able to scoop it up. You see, friends, God has a plan. God always had a plan for the children of Israel. They weren't just supposed to wander in the wilderness. When they did wander because of their own disobedience, God still had a plan. Yes. Friends, can I tell you? God has a plan for the church. Amen. We feel like we've been wandering a little bit, but you know what? God never deviated from his plan. Amen. And if we'll follow God's plan, God will provide for us. God will show us what it is that he wants us to do, what it is that he has for us, if we will just stay in God's plan. You see, the purpose for giving the bread from heaven was not only to provide for the material needs of Israel, but David Guzak in his commentary said that it was also to teach them eternal lessons of dependence on God. Dependence on God. Deuteronomy 8:3, so he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And when God puts us in a place of need, he wants to do more than just meet our need. He wants to teach us some eternal lessons. Anybody still learning anything from the Lord? Yeah. Every time you read your Bible, every time you go to worship or spend time in prayer, guess what? God will teach you something new if you let him. There's lessons to be learned, lessons to be taught in God's word. And the word of God is so deep and so rich. It's layer upon layer upon layer. And I've said that many times. There's so much that God wants to speak to us about and reveal to us and lessons. And, you know, that's what God was trying to teach the children. You know, they had what? They had come to depend on Egypt to supply their needs. The land of Goshen. And God really had supplied their needs in the land of Goshen. They just didn't realize it. He kept them from the plagues. He kept them from all the things that God brought upon Pharaoh and the Egyptian people. It was a land of blessing. It was a land of prosperity. But you know that everything that the Egyptian people took from them, even in Goshen, God gave it back to them before they left. Did you know that when they left the land of Egypt, God gave all the women everything they asked for from the Egyptian ladies? I mean, they walked out with everything they needed to put gold and silver and to build the Ark of the Covenant and to build the tabernacle in the wilderness to provide every precious jewel. Friends, they left out of there under the blessing of God because God had a plan. And I believe, friends, God has a plan for us. And I just feel like that when we follow God's plan, when we get back to where God wants us to be, we're going to see that plan is unfolded in miraculous, supernatural ways. This was an example of God's way of cooperating with man. and God's way of man cooperating with him. Israel could not bring the man, and God would not gather it for them, but each had to do their part. That was his plan. What is it? Well, it's God's provision. It is God's plan. And then the third thing it is, it's God's presence. It's God's presence. You see this man, or this bread from heaven, as a powerful picture of who? Of Jesus Christ himself. You remember after he fed the 5,000? You know, I just shared a little bit about this even on Wednesday night. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus had a discussion with the people who wanted to keep on feeding him with their miraculous power. Remember, all the people kept following him. But he says, oh, you just keep following me because you want me to give you more bread. Really, they wanted him to multiply more bread and fish, and they wanted him to be their rescuer and as far as just supplying their needs. But look what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. It's not on the board today. He said, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus is the bread of heaven. Right? And we have to what? Receive him like Israel received the manna. You see, friends, really, what is it? It's God's provision. It's his plan. It's all about his presence. God wants to give us his presence. Amen. You know, even Jesus told Satan in the temptation in the wilderness, get behind me, Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Come on, friends. God wants to provide for us. He wants to make plans for us. And he has. And he wants to reveal himself to us, his presence. So what is it? Well, that's some things I believe it is. When we talk about manna, we just talk about what it is in Scripture. It's all about God. It's all, you know, can I get the Word of God? It's all about God, right? It's all about who he is, what he does, how he leads us, how he guides us, and how he reveals himself to us. But I want to ask you a second question this morning for just a minute. How do I get it? How do I get it? Sometimes we just got to say, man, I could have a V8 today. How do I get it? How do I receive God's provision? How do I receive God's plan? How do I walk in his presence? Matthew chapter 7 says this. Let me read these scriptures. You know it, but let me read it to you. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, it depends on what translation. It says, ask and you what you will receive. But really the connotation is keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find it. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be open. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? Think about it, friends. How do I get what God has provided for me? How do I get it? Ask. If you look in the King James or the New King, it says ask and it will be given to you. What is it? I believe that it is the answer to your prayers. I believe that it is God's plan. It is God's provision. It is God's presence. Now, you know, maybe Jesus is kind of revealing and reminding some people of the power of praying by asking and seeking and knocking. You see, friends, God promises an answer to the one who diligently seeks an answer from him. Many of our passionate prayers are not answered for good reason, because it is almost as if we ask God to care about something that we care little or nothing about. You know, sometimes we do. We pray prayers that, you know, while we're just praying those prayers to go through the motions, we really don't care what we're praying about. How many times do you post on somebody's Facebook post or somebody's text message about so-and-so needs prayer while I'm praying? And do you pray? Do you really care about the thing that you're praying about? I know we can all be guilty if we're not careful, but do we really value what God is doing for us? You see, God values persistence. He values passion and prayer because they show that we share his heart. It shows that we care about the things he cares about, Persistent prayer does not overcome God's stubborn reluctance. It gives glory to God, and it expresses our dependence on Him, and it aligns our heart with His heart. How do I get it? Well, you seek Him, you ask, you seek, you knock. One writer said, Park said, ask with confidence and humility. Seek with care and application. Knock with earnestness and perseverance. When you ask, are you confident that God hears and answers your prayer? When you seek Him, are you willing to apply yourself in that process? When you knock, are you persevering, saying, God, hear me, hear me? The Bible says in Revelation, he who stands at the door and knocks, it will be what? It will be open to him. You see, receiving is the reward of asking. You have not because you what? You ask not. How do I get it? You ask. Can I tell you, have a good father that loves to give good things to his children? If you as earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children or your grandchildren, guess what? Your heavenly father knows how to give you so much more. Receiving is the reward of asking. Finding is the reward of seeking. When you seek for it, God rewards you by helping you find it. And then entering through the open door into his palace is the reward of knocking. You see, when you knock at his door, he will do what? He will open the door so you can come in. And that you two can sup together. The Lord with you and you with the Lord. Maybe, can you come here for just a minute?
Yeah.
Lord, can you come here one more time? Oh, I got one more point I'll put up here real quick. On the podcast. Yeah. The thing is going to play. Friends, maybe the question is, do you want it? He has it. And I don't want to use it as an immature word. And I don't want to misalign anything with the word of God, because I'm not talking about an it God. I'm talking about a supernatural, loving Father, a loving Savior, a loving Holy Spirit. But maybe the question that I can finish up with you today is, do you want it? What is it? How do I get it? But what about if God supplies it for you? What if God gives you manna from heaven? What if God gives you water from a rock? What if God supplies your needs? Do you want it? Will you receive it? Will you walk in it? You know, friends, can I tell you, God knows how to bless people. God knows the people that will use those blessings to bless other people. Could it be that God will give you more than enough? Because he sees that you will be one to give out what of your surplus to others. Why does God bless you? Because God wants you to be a blessing to other people. But my question today is, do you want it? Church, do you want it? Do you want what God has for you? Do you want what God has for this church? Do you want those moments that we can't explain it, but we just worship the Lord and we spend time in his presence and the Lord just overwhelms us with his spirit and people are saved. Are healed, people are delivered, people are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, friends, God gave you the greatest gift, it's the Holy Spirit. And he did that so that you can enjoy the fullness of God. And I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, I don't mean it in no negative way against you. You know what I mean. God gives you the Holy Spirit because he wants to bless you. And he wants to bless your church. I long for those days again.
Amen.
We just worship in his presence and we just lay in his presence and spend time praying in his presence. And you know, God just comes and does things for us we didn't even ask for. But he does it because he loves us. And he's a good father. Can't think, friends, God wasn't going to leave his children in the wilderness alone. And Jesus said, wasn't going to leave us alone either. He said, I'm going to go to my Father, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit because it's necessary for you. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. I know y'all won't be too long today. But do you want it? Do you want what God has for you? Do you want healing? Do you want your victory? Do you want your needs met? Do you want your children saved? Do you want your household saved? Do you want your business blessed? Do you want to be a witness for the Lord? Do you want it? Do you want God to give you fruits and gifts? Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you reveal yourself to us today, Lord, right now. Rise up in us, Lord. God, help us to walk in the fullness of your victory, the fullness of your love, and the fullness of your word. God, we want to feast on that heavenly manna today, Lord. God, just overwhelm us today with your presence. Overwhelm us today with your presence. Somebody in front of you, and just pray that God would bless them and God would supply their needs, and God would reveal his plan and presence and provision to them, and God would help them to know that he is all that they have need of today. Come on, would you just come on, do that for a minute before you go leave this place. Pray for somebody else. Amen. Some of the greatest blessings are when you pray for other people. Yes, thank you, Lord. We believe that, Lord. And we praise you. We praise you. God, give your people everything they have need of today, Lord. God, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. God, give this church everything we have need of, Lord. God, I'm just a weak vessel, Lord. But God, what a beautiful group of people that you have assembled in this place, Lord, that love you, that stood the test of time with you, that have walked with you in the good times and the bad times, Lord, that have not given up. Lord, thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. Honor them, Lord, with fresh bread. Give them some fresh bread today. God, feed them today. God, may they just know that, Lord, they are in your plan. They are walking in your will. God, I just pray that they would sense your presence, Lord, every moment of every day, Lord. May they sense the presence of an almighty God just watching over them, Lord. May they know that you got them, Lord. You got them in the very center of your will and in the center of your hands, Lord. You know everything about them today, Lord. We bless them, Lord. I speak blessings over this church. Blessings. Blessing, blessing, bless them when they come in, bless them when they go out, bless them when they rise up, and bless them when they lay down, Father. God, bless them whatever they put their hand to, wherever the soles of their feet shall tread. Bless everything they do for you. Every word they speak, may it be anointed and blessed. Everything they listen to, every thought they think, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, everything they see, Lord. Let it be through your eyes and through your lips, Lord. We bless you for that, Father. We praise you, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, come on, just love somebody and love on them today. Tell them how much you appreciate them and you're praying. Come on, tell them you're praying for them and really pray.